हरे हे
When the local pandits approached Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati for discussion, they questioned his leniency in giving initiation and his awarding the brahminical thread and sannyas dress to persons of lower castes. Because of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's scholarly, forceful presentation, the pandits seemed satisfied by the discussion. But when the Parikram party arrived at Vrindavan's seven main temples, which has been erected by the immediate followers of Lord Chaitanya, the party found the doors closed. Vrindavan shopkeepers closed their businesses, and some people even threw stones at the passing pilgrims. But the Parikram party, led by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, continued in good spirits despite the animosity. And on October 28th, the party arrived at Koshi, the site of the treasury of Krishna's father, King Nanda. Oh, that's what's special about Koshi. Abhay arrived in Mathura by train from Allahabad. So the point is there's going to be opposition. So it's not a matter of that one therefore adjusts one's principles to match that. It's a matter of that you, you just go on, you figure out how to maintain your position and at the same time are able to, means work with whatever's there. And if not, you stay out of the way, or if that's not an option, you just continue doing what you're doing. Because how long are they going to give you a problem? Because they don't have a standing, they don't have a position. Abhay arrived in Mathura by train from Allahabad and approach Koshi by rickshaw. Somehow or another, all the holy places in India are all connected by train. You know, many times direct trains. So, like Allahabad, Varanasi, to Mathura, Ujjain, and all these different other places that are there all around India, Hrishikesh, Hardwar. Then somehow or other the trains all have direct connections.
Koshi by rickshaw.
That's a long way.
Like 60 kilometers.
Hmm?
Like 60 kilometers.
Yeah, because from Mathura you'd have to cross Vrindavan first to get to Koshi, because Koshi's, isn't that right on the edge of the Braj Mandal?
It's on the borders of Haryana.
Yeah, so it's right on the edge of the, on the Parikram, it's on the outer edge. No? The countryside was full of charm for Abhay. Instead of factories and large buildings, there were mostly forests, and aside from the main paved road on which he traveled, there were only dirt roads and soft sandy lanes. As a Vaishnava, Abhay felt sensations an ordinary man wouldn't. Now and then he sighted a peacock in the field, its exotic plumage proclaiming the glories of Vrindavan and Krishna. Even a non-devotee, however, could appreciate the many varieties of birds, the interesting cries and songs filling the air. Occasionally a tree would be filled with madly chirping sparrows, making their urgent twilight clamor before resting for the night. even one unaware of the special significance of Vrindavan, could feel a relief of mind in this simple countryside, where people built fires from cow manure fuel and cooked their evening meals in the open, the fires adding rich natural smells to the the indefinable mixture which was the odor of the earth. There were many gnarled old trees and colorful stretches of flowers, bushes of bright violet camellia, trees abloom with delicate white parijata blossoms, and big yellow kadamba flowers rarely seen outside of Vrindavan. Previously, like at this time when Prabhupada would have gone, then from Vrindavan, where all the devotees stay, up to like Nandagaon and those, now it's like the forest kind of end, you know, there's not so much forest there between them, but before it was solid forest. You could walk from Vrindavan to Nandagaon and that under trees the whole time. Somehow or another, you don't find them now. On the road, there was lively horse-drawn Tunga traffic. The month of Kartik, October, November, was one of the several times of the year that drew many pilgrims to Vrindavan. The one-horse Tungas carried large families, some coming from hundreds of miles away. Larger bands of pilgrims, grouped by village, walked together. The women dressed in bright colored saris, brown-skinned men and women sometimes singing bhajans, carrying but a few simple possessions as they headed for the town of thousands of temples, Vrindavan. And there were businessmen like Abai, dressed more formally, coming from a city, maybe to spend the weekend. Most of them had at least some semblance of a religious motive, to see Krishna in the temple, to bathe in the holy Jamuna River, to visit the sites where Lord Krishna had performed his pastimes, such as the lifting of Govardhan Hill, the killing of Keshi Devand, or the dancing in the evening with the gopis. Right, so everybody would try to take part. Right? It means you'd have the villagers like that, whole villages come, they would walk, now they take a bus, you know, so you see all those 50 million buses out there, those are all the villagers coming in a group. So they would be coming, then those that were smaller groups, they would travel around by Tunga, these horses, you've seen those? You know, the single horse with the carriage in the back, they would travel with that. That's very, very common travel still now, it's there. And then, you know, then like this, then those from Delhi or other surrounding, you know, towns, you know, Lucknow or anywhere would come to spend a weekend when it's not work and that to try to, because it's Kartik, so everybody would try to come for parikrama of Govardhan or bathing in the Jamuna, visiting the temples. So everybody would be busy with this. Abai was sensitive to the atmosphere of Vrindavan, and he noted the activity along the road, but more than that, he cherished with anticipation the fulfillment of his journey, his meeting again after a long separation, the saintly person he had always thought of within himself, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who had spoken to him in Calcutta and convinced him of Lord Chaitanya's mission to preach Krishna consciousness. Abai would soon see him again, and this purpose filled his mind. So here it says he convinced him of preaching, right? It doesn't say he discussed, he convinced him. So in Prabhupada's mind, that's what was to be done. It's just a matter of the timing, when one would be able to do that. Like that. So also he's saying he's in Vrindavan, but more important than it being in Vrindavan is the association of devotees. Because actually Vrindavan's only revealed through the devotees. You can be in Vrindavan and not actually take much advantage of it. Right? It's the devotees that then make it special. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise you see like the yogic Brahmins, they're in Vrindavan, but they're not actually really taking advantage of what Vrindavan has to offer. That means the association of Krishna. So here we see his Prabhupada was inspired because he was going to meet the devotees. Upon reaching the lantern-illuminated camp of the Gaudiya Math and inquiring at the registration post, he was allowed to join the Parikram village. He was assigned to a tent of Grihastha men and was offered prasadam. The people were friendly and in good spirits. And Abai talked of his activities with the Mutt members in Calcutta and Allahabad. Then there was a gathering. A sannyasi was making an announcement. This evening, he said, there would be a scheduled visit to a nearby temple to see the deity of Seshashayi Vishnu. Some of the pilgrims cheered, Hari Bol, Hari Krishna. The sannyasi also announced that his divine grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would speak that evening for the last time and would be leaving the Parikram party the next day. So there was no choice of going on the Parikram or staying for the lecture. Seshashayi, that's where what? Krishna showed his form as Vishnu? That's not Seshashayi?
There's Shisagar is there. And then the Pulled Vishnu, he's manifest himself. So,
did your
Vishnu
laying on Anandashesh? But being self-manifest deity. Mm-hmm. But is that not in the place? Where's the place where Krishna, they were talking about this, and so then Sri Dham became Hanuman, and Sri Dham became Garuda, and Sudham became Hanuman, and Krishna took the form of Vishnu and all that? You don't know? I'm not sure that this is, it's not this place. Srila Prabhupada. So I met them in Koshi, and Keshava Maharaj was informing that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is going to Mathura tomorrow morning, and he will speak Harikatha this evening. That's Keshava Maharaj, that he later became Prabhupada Sannyas Guru. Anyone who wants may remain, or otherwise they may go to see Seshashayi Vishnu. So at that time, I think only 10 or 12 men remained. Wow. Sridhar Maharaj was one of them, and I thought it wise. What can I see at this Seshashayi? Let me hear what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati will speak. Let me hear. Yeah, because the point is that if you have the spiritual master speaking, or you can go on pilgrimage or take darshan and all these things, point is, as Prabhupada's making, what will you see? Because it's only by the grace of the guru that you're able to see. So if you're not being, and you see through his instructions. So if we're not taking the instructions and we're going there, then it's not so important. Right? There's a story, I think, where they were in the temple, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving class, and then the deities opened or something. But it's not exactly where the class place is. So one devotee got up, went and took darshan, and then after darshan came back. And so then Bhaktisiddhanta asked Saraswati Thakur, what did he see? You know. So after some discussion, then it was, you know, understood by the devotee that it's only by the instructions of the spiritual master can you actually see the deity. Otherwise, you won't actually know who you're dealing with. Right? So in other words, if there is of the two, so he says 10 or 12 remained, so the other 10,000 went to Seshashayi. So the 10 or 12 that remained, then Papa thought, now these ones are the smart ones. Right? When Abai arrived, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was already speaking. He sat with his back erect, a shawl around his shoulders, not speaking like a professional lecturer giving a scheduled performance, but addressing a small gathering in his room. At last, Abai was in his presence again. Abai marveled to see and hear him, this unique soul possessed of Krishna Katha, speaking uninterruptedly about Krishna in his deep, low voice. In ecstasy and deep knowledge, Abai sat and heard with rapt attention. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had been speaking regularly about Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana. Amazing. Sambandha is the stage of devotional service in which awareness of God is awakened. Abhideya is rendering loving service to the Lord. And Prayojana is the ultimate goal, pure love of God. He stressed that his explanations were an exact recapitulation of what had originally been spoken by Krishna and passed down through disciplic succession. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's particular utterance, mostly Bengali, but sometimes English, with frequent quoting of Sanskrit from the Shastras, was deep with erudition. It is Krishna, said Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who is the only superlord over the entire universe, and beyond it, of Vaikuntha, the transcendental realm, region. As such, no one can raise any obstacle against his enjoyment. And so, two things. He's just, this Samban Abhidein Prayojana, so he's saying that this is what Krishna spoke. Right? Means Krishna is originally speaking these, and then now, this is then coming down through the parampara, this is being spoken now by him. So this concept of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, this is the basis of the philosophy. Everything that we have in the philosophy can be explained through this presentation. And then he's establishing that Krishna, you know, he's the supreme Lord beyond everybody. Therefore, him enjoying everything, since he's creator of everything, then who could stop it, right? So it's we are having trouble trying to gain it, but with Krishna, no one can stop it, you know, because that's just his natural position as the supreme enjoyer. An hour went by, 2 hours. The already small gathering in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's room gradually thinned. Right? And that's one way of telling who's serious. You just talk serious Krishna Katha and then you see who stays. Right? A few sannyasis left, excusing themselves to tend to duties connected with the Parakram camp. Only a few intimate leaders remained. Abhai was the only outsider. Of course, he was a devotee, not an outsider. But in the sense that he was not a sannyasi, was not handling any duties, was not even initiated, and was not traveling with the Parakram, but had joined only for a day. In that sense, he was an outsider. The philosophy Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was speaking, however, was democratically open to whoever would give an ardent hearing, and that Abhai was doing. He was listening with wonder. Sometimes he would not even understand something, but he would go on listening intently, submissively, his intelligence drinking in the words. He felt Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati revealing to him the direct vision of the spiritual world, just as a person reveals something by opening a door or pushing aside a curtain. He was revealing the reality, and this reality was loving service to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. The supreme worshipable personality of Godhead, how masterfully he spoke, and with utter conviction and boldness. Right, so this is the thing, that conviction, that boldness, that's what actually then makes it attractive, right? Means one may have so many aspects you may use in the speaking, but the main thing is this conviction. If you're convinced, then you can speak very strongly, very boldly. This bold doesn't mean that it's a bad quality or that it's rash or harsh or uncultured. It just means it's very strong. You can make your points with full commitment, with full determination. Because otherwise, then there might not be, you know, all these things. Does that make sense? So that's important. That is important. It was with such awe that Abhai listened with fastened attention. Of course, all Vaishnavas accepted Krishna as a worshipable Lord. But how conclusively and with what sound logic was the faith of the Vaishnav established by this great teacher? After several hours, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati stopped speaking. Abhai felt prepared to go on listening without cessation. And yet he had no puzzling doubts or queries to place forward. He wanted only to hear more. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made his exit, Abhai bowed, offering his obeisances, and then left the intimate circle of sannyasis in the row of tents, and went to the outer circle of tents, his mind surcharged with the words of his spiritual master. Now the relationship seemed more tangible. He still treasured his original impression of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the saintly person who had spoken to him on the rooftop in Calcutta. But tonight, that single impression that had sustained him for years in Allahabad. Had been enriched and filled with new life. His spiritual master and the impression of his words were as much a reality as the stars in the sky and the moon over Vrindavan. The impression of hearing from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was filling him with its reality, and all other reality was forming itself around the absolute reality of Srila Gurudev. Just as all the planets circle around the sun. The next morning, Abhay was up with the others more than an hour before dawn, bathed and chanting mantras in congregation. Later in the morning, the tall, stately figure of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, dressed in plain saffron, got onto the back seat of a car and rode away from the camp. Thoughtful and grave, he looked back and waved, accepting the loving farewell gestures of his followers. Abhay stood amongst them. A little more than a month later, Abhay was again anticipating an imminent meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, this time at Allahabad. Abhay had only recently returned from Vrindavan to his work at Prayag Pharmacy, when the devotees at the Allahabad Gaudiya Math informed him of the good news. They had secured land and funds for constructing a building, the Sri Rupa Gaudiya Math, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would be coming on November 21st to preside over the ceremony for the laying of the cornerstone. Sir William Malcolm Haley, governor of the United Provinces, would be the respected guest, and in a grand ceremony would lay the foundation stone in the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. When Abhay learned that there would also be an initiation ceremony, he asked if he could be initiated. Atulananda, the Mat's president, assured Abhay that he would introduce him to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. At home, Abhay discussed his initiation plans with his wife. She had no objection, but she did not want to take initiation herself. They were already worshipping the deity at home and offering their food to the deity. They believed in God and were living peacefully. But for Abhay, that was not enough. Although he would not force his wife, he knew that he must be initiated by a pure devotee. Avoiding sinful life, living piously, these things were necessary and good, but in themselves they did not constitute spiritual life and could not satisfy the yearning of the soul. Life's ultimate goal and the absolute necessity of the self was love of Krishna. That love of Krishna his father had already inculcated within him. And now he had to take the next step. His father would have been pleased to see him do it. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that you have the Samanya Bhakta, or the general devotee, or like that. That, and then you have the Sampradayak devotee. So Samanya devotee means they're born in the family of devotees. They practice devotional activities, you know, may worship the deity, do all these different things. But they're not connected to a Sampradaya. So that's very good. It's very nice, very pious. But it's not taking that step in bhajana kriya of initiation, because then you become sampradaya. Krishna at that time recognizes that then you're very serious about Krishna consciousness, right? So therefore Srila Prabhupada then right from the beginning saw that this was an important step. So it was just a matter of time, you know, when he felt he was ready, the opportunity arrived and everything like that. So Does that make sense? So the sampradayak is pious here. That doesn't mean pious meaning like a material karmakanda. This is agyata sukrita within devotional service. So it's devotional piety. Right? So by that will bring you near to, you know, actual serious devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? So, but Srila Prabhupada's father was wanting him to take devotional service seriously, to make that the prominent element in his life. That's what he was hoping for. So then Srila Prabhupada, then, you know, understanding that and himself also being committed to that, then he was hoping for this. What he had learned from his father was now being solidified by someone capable of guiding all the fallen souls of the world to transcendental love of God. Abhay knew he should go forward and take complete shelter in the instructions of his spiritual master. And the scriptures enjoined, he who is the desirous of knowing the absolute truth must take shelter of a spiritual master who is in disciplic succession and who is fixed in Krishna consciousness. Even Lord Chaitanya, who was Krishna himself, had accepted a spiritual master, and only after initiation did he manifest the full symptoms of ecstatic love of Krishna while chanting the holy name. So we see here is that there's the acceptance of the spiritual master, then there's the initiation from him, right? So Srila Prabhupada had accepted him as the spiritual master. He was always talked about as the spiritual master. But then the time was, you know, waiting for the initiation. But we see, like his wife, she wasn't accepting a spiritual master. So you're worshiping Krishna, and you know, by that pious association of others who are worshiping and all this, then she's engaged. But it's not the same as having made that commitment. And then solidifying that commitment by initiation. Does this make some sense? Yes? No? Right. Yeah. Okay. As for the ritual initiation he had received at age 12 from a family priest, Abhay had never taken it very seriously. It had been a religious formality. But a guru was not a mere official ritualistic priest. So Abhay had rejected the idea that he already had a guru. He had never received instructions from him in bhakti, and his family guru had not linked him through disciplic succession with Krishna. But by taking initiation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he would be linked with Krishna, Bhaktisiddhanta, son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and disciple of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Was the guru in the 12th disciplic generation from Lord Chaitanya. He was the foremost Vedic scholar of the age, the expert Vaishnava who could guide one back to Godhead. He was empowered by his predecessors to work for the highest welfare by giving everyone Krishna consciousness, the remedy for all sufferings. Abhay felt that he had already accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta as his spiritual master, and that from their very first meeting, he had already received his orders. Now if Srila Prabhupada would accept him as a disciple, the relationship would be confirmed. So he's accepted him, he's already following instructions, because the first connection then is Vartma Pradarshaka. It's actually an aspect of Siksha Guru. So one comes in contact, one takes up the instructions, one is practicing them. And so basically speaking, the connection is made. Now it's a matter of making it official. He was coming so soon after Abhay had seen and heard him in Vrindavan. That was how Krishna acted, through his representative. It was as if his spiritual master, in coming to where Abhay had his family and business, was coming to draw him further into spiritual life. Without Abhay's having attempted to bring it about, his relationship with Bhaktisiddhanta was deepening. Now Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was coming to him as if by a higher arrangement. Right, so it means he was serious about it. It means he was practicing like that, but then when he became serious and made that effort, then we see Krishna reciprocated by sending Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati there to where he was. Like that. On the day of the ceremony, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati met with his disciples at the Allahabad Gaudiya Mutt on South Malka Street. You'll notice that in this program, they've invited the governor of the United Provinces. So that means he's very big. But it's not that they're separate from the program, they're part of the program. Does that make sense? So it doesn't distract from the program. So one if one is having these programs, then and following like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would do, Srila Prabhupada would do. They like to bring these big gentlemen, but they were part of the scene. They didn't eclipse it. So if you can do that, that is always the best. Like that. You have a combined program, these very, you know, influential people are there. They come to the program, they have their place in the program, where, you know, they take part, you know, whatever is appropriate for them. They're taken care of nicely, but it doesn't distract from the program. Does that make sense? If you can't do that, then you have two ceremonies. One that is the technical, you know, elements from the Shastra and the devotional for the devotees doing kirtan and that. And then another one that's the official one for all these, you know, special people, so that they can come and they, you know, take part in a way that they're more prominent and everything's, you know, revolving around them. Does this make sense? You have to do one or the other. The worst is, I mean, the next best, of course, is after that, is you have the program with the devotees, don't have the VIP program, but then, you know, it has that devotional element, but it doesn't have the preaching like the other two would, right? And then the worst is to have the program where you're having all the technical things that you should have, but at the same time you have all these VIPs, and because the VIPs are the important element and the ritual's not, then you compromise the ritual for these VIPs and the devotees aren't happy. These other people, they don't know what's going on, so even if they took part in something they should or shouldn't, it wouldn't make any difference to them. And so basically what you've done is you haven't done anything more for those VIP guests than you would have in the other way, but you've dissatisfied the devotees. Does that make sense? Yeah? So it's important consideration. While he was speaking Harikatha and taking questions, Atulananda Brahmachari took the opportunity to present several devotees. Abhay amongst them as candidates for initiation. The Allahabad devotees were proud of Mr. Day, who regularly attended the mat in the evening and led bhajans, listened to the teachings and spoke them himself, and often brought respectable guests. He had contributed money and had introduced his business colleagues also to do so. With folded palms, Abhay looked up humbly at his spiritual master. He and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta were now face to face. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta recognized him when was visibly pleased to see him. He already knew him. "Yes," he said, exchanging looks with Abhay. "He likes to hear. He does not go away. I have marked him. I will accept him as my disciple." Right? In other words, out of 10,000 people in the parikram, only 10 or 12 stayed for the lecture, the beginning of the lecture. And then of the 10 or 12, actually only 2 or 3 actually remained through the whole lecture. So that means out of 10,000 people, only he stayed. So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he noted that, because that would... He felt that's what made him qualified. Yes?
So Maharaj just mentioned that a few sannyasis excusing themselves for performing some duty for the parikrama. Is it considered that they don't have so much interest in listening?
The question then is coming up, the element of these sannyasis, they have duties to do. So they're doing those duties for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's parikram. So wouldn't that be appropriate that they do those duties, right? So why would it be considered that, you know, or would it be considered, or why would anybody even consider that they're not, you know, properly engaged or properly, right? But in here is that, of course, that is there. You know, so they did have service, that's why he went. But at the same time, as the parikram is also service, it was a parikram, right? And he's speaking for a couple of hours. One could always try to arrange those duties to be done at another time, either done before the lecture or done after the lecture, like that. So that would be the first choice, you know, be at the lecture, having arranged things around that. But if not, if it's a matter of that's the only time it can be done, then of course the one is rendering service, so then that would work. Prabhupada would many times have devotees would want to be with him, but he'd send them out preaching. So, you know, so it depends on it. So the point is, the whole boils down to the mentality. The individual, why are they not there? Are they busy doing something? You know, and therefore following the order? In other words, they're already taking the order and applying it. Or is it a matter of, you know, they'd rather be doing active physical things than listening to a lecture? Does that make sense? That, so it's very individual. That's the point with the... Because Vaishnavism, the point is that mentality. The mentality is devotional, then the whole thing becomes. It's not, then it becomes lessened. Right? Yeah? Okay. Some other questions? No? Okay. How are the green spots today? The green spots are going away. So that means the original green color underneath is being covered up and it's going back to this skin color again. So that way then no one will know that you're actually green color. Yeah?
The green stuff comes off and then you get the normal skin color.
Oh, the green stuff comes off, so you're not actually green. Oh, everyone thought you were actually green and just the color wore off from that. And so then the green was coming out. But you're saying the green wears off and it goes back to regular color. Oh, okay. Oh, well.
I think you should get an award.
Award for?
Actually answering a question.
Actually answering a question, yeah. And actually using his brain. Yeah. Using his intelligence and go, no, no, I'm not greedy. Very good. Thank you. So then that would, because he answered, that would make him not a green monster?
Yes.
Oh, so that's why he's coming back to normal color. See, otherwise he would remain green. Okay, makes sense. So what about the other guys? Just the color hasn't worn off yet.
Have good camouflage.
Okay, good camouflage. Good paint job, I think. As the moment and the words became impressed into his being, Abhay was in ecstasy. Atulananda was pleasantly surprised that his Gurudev was already in approval of Mr. Day. Because right? Otherwise you have to go and explain who he is and everything like that, and then, you know, maybe you'll think about it, maybe you'll ask questions. But he already knew who he was, like that. So therefore he appreciated. Other disciples in the room were also pleased to witness Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's immediate acceptance of Mr. Day as a good listener. Some of them wondered when or where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had arrived at such an estimation of the young pharmacist. Because they weren't around to hear, so they weren't. But otherwise, then from previously in Calcutta, then he would sit and listen, and then this time in Vrindavan. At the initiation, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was seated on a Vyasasan, and the room was filled with guests and members of the Gaudiya Math. Those to be initiated sat around a small mound of earth, where one of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati sannyasis prepared a fire and offered grains and fruits into the flames. While everyone chanted mantras for purification, Abhay's sister and brother were present, but not his wife. Abhay basked in the presence of his Gurudev. Quote, yes, he likes to hear the words of his spiritual master, and his glance of recognition had remained with Abhay. Abhay would continue pleasing his spiritual master by hearing well. Then he thought, I will be able to speak well. Because right? If you hear nicely, then you can speak nicely. Right? You don't hear nicely, you can't speak. So what does that mean in conclusion of what we just discussed previously on the green monster tattva? What do you think? According to this principle.
We
Okay. But it means that one was able to speak because he's actually been listening.
Yeah, I'm saying because none of them listened. So.
Oh, okay. Maybe you should check that the cotton buds aren't still in their ears. That could be. That's like
very, very busy with the hand and feet and rocks and bricks.
Or it could be elbows. Sometimes my mother used to comment about elbows in the ears. Because so, they're quite big. Very hard to get out. The Vedic literature described 9 processes of devotional service, the first of which was Shravanam, hearing about Krishna. Then came Kirtanam, chanting about and glorifying him. By sitting patiently and hearing at Koshi, he had pleased Krishna's representative. And when Krishna's representative was pleased, Krishna was pleased. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had not praised him for donated money to the mutt, and hadn't advised him to forsake his family and business and travel with him, nor had he asked Abai to perform great austerities, like the yogis who mortify their bodies with fasts and difficult vows. But he likes to hear, he had said. I have marked him. Abai thought about it, and again listened carefully as his spiritual master conducted the initiation. Yeah, it means you have all these other things, and they're nice things. Right? Someone gives money, someone does great austerities, these and that. But actually hearing, right? So our process is Shravanam Kirtanam. So the most important, you hear the philosophy given by the spiritual master, that's what you can apply in your life. So hearing from the spiritual master is what makes one qualified. These other things are nice, you can do that. So, you know, there's a balance there. He's not saying give up family life and everything like that, because, you know, then he can only preach from that position. No, he had his sannyasis and the brahmacharis. The Gaudiya Math basically is only brahmacharis and sannyasis. Grihasthas don't live in the math. Right? We don't run maths. We have temples. Temples and grihasthas can live. Right? So if it's a math, then you know it's only sannyasis, brahmacharis. Like the Shankara math, that's a math. Right? The Gaudiya Math, that's there. So you see them here and there in maths. But if it's a temple, that means the pujaris are probably grihasthas, and most of those involved are grihasthas. Though the others may be involved, but it's like the madhvas, they have mutts like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's there. And then this point of that, these austerities and other things like that is not what he asked him to do. He asked him to hear, because by hearing, then he will preach, right? Because your austerities, your these different things, they have their limit, because even though they want, I mean, if one is connecting to Krishna, that's nice, but the most austere thing is to preach, to speak, to train others, right? That's more austere, right? But that's based on hearing. So one has to hear, then one can speak. Yes.
What does limit mean?
Limit. Limit means that there's how much. You keep something to a particular size, right? It can't get bigger than that. You know, like you limit the amount of sweet rice that one of the boys can eat to only half a bucket. They can't have a full bucket of sweet rice. You understand? So you limit. Does that make sense? Or, you know, on how much you're going somewhere, then, you know, you can only go this far. You guys are between class, you can only stay in the building. You can't go outside. That's limiting, right? Does that make sense? So, like that, you're keeping it. Okay? So, by, how you say? So, austerities then, though pious in themselves, they're not actually, though it's a nice thing. So if one is able to preach, one is able to do things and do that, that's nice. But austerity actually means the proper performance of your duties. Does that make sense? So that's why the Prabhupada then mentions here, those who mortify their body with fasts and difficult vows, that's not the prominent element. Like that. It's nice. It's pious. It means the person has, you know, some character to be able to do that, because not everybody can do that. But the actual real austerity is the proper performance of duties. That's the most important. Otherwise, the fasting then, you know, it's nice, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will develop one's love for Krishna. And therefore, the results you'll get will be temporary. Right? Does that make sense? If it's done for Krishna, then one will get the temporary results and the devotional results. But unless that is seen, then there'll be a problem. Yes? Finally, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta called for Abhay to come forward and receive the Hari Nam initiation by accepting his beads. After offering prostrated obeisances, Abhay extended his right hand and accepted the strand of japa beads from the hand of his spiritual master. At the same time, he also received the sacred brahminical thread, signifying the second initiation. Usually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave the first initiation, Hari Nam, and only after some time, when he was satisfied with the progress of the disciple, would he give the second initiation. But he offered Abhay both initiations at the same time. Now Abhay was a full-fledged disciple, a brahmana who could perform sacrifices, such as this fire yajna for initiation. He could worship the deity in the temple and would be expected to discourse widely. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta added Aravinda, lotus, to his name. Now he was Abhay Charan Aravinda. Yes?
I mean, as far as I understand, they generally wouldn't give like that.
Generally they wouldn't, because it's with means previous to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that was the standard. When you are ready for what we'd call second initiation, then you got first and second together. But with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he split it because of the nature of the, you know, modern culture and the city's lifestyle and that. So that when you were qualified to a certain degree, you got first, and only when you were more qualified serious, you got second. Because technically it's not actually two initiations, it's two parts of one initiation. Right? Diksha, there's five samskars. So what is happening is the first three are combined into first initiation, and the second two are combined into second initiation. Previously, all five were given together as initiation. There wasn't first and second. But because of the nature of people, you know, just it would take them more time to become serious than it was split. So therefore, that was started by him. So it wasn't a common thing that would be done. So we can see also is that the consideration is what in his mind, then the first and second is that that giving of the beads, the Namaguru, and giving of a name and all that was considered actual initiation by the spiritual master, and you were connected. So we see, but the concept that's used now in the Gaudiya Math is who is the gives first, or the Namaguru. You have a connection with them, but it's the person you get second from that you're actually committed to. I think this has come to pass because of, I mean, this is just my an observation, that before the Gaudiya Math was one mission, therefore there wasn't a question of anything else. And ISKCON is one mission, right? So, but in the Gaudiya Math you have many, many, many missions. So that becomes a problem. And that many missions then means is that someone's maybe connected with one, but they may move to another. So then what's happening is that, excuse me, could you come back after 10 minutes? Speaking English. Speak of the English. Right? This it means this is, the class is just for the students, okay? You come at 10, I mean at 7, then that would be the adult class. Okay, thank you. Yes, so therefore that option somehow has come up, and then that also creates confusion, because in the line of the previous acharyas, then we're simply taking the one initiation, dividing it into two. So you wouldn't think, yes.
What does combine mean?
Combine means you put together, right? Just like you have the cauliflowers and the potatoes, you combine them and make one subject. Okay? Yeah, otherwise you keep them separately and you have a cauliflower chachari and an aloo dum. right? Or you put them together and then you have a cauliflower and alu dalda, right? Okay? Yes. How do you say? Pandora seems to be quite, you know, quite...
chirpy.
Yes, yeah, chirpy and progressive, so it's okay. It's good. Okay? Yes, yeah, so this combination, so it would seem, it wouldn't sound logical that the spiritual master Diksha means all five samskars, so that therefore the person who gives the first three isn't really the serious. It means you would have to consider it to connect it. Does that make sense? Like that. So somehow or another, then that would mean it's in application because they will see as guru tattva. But within guru tattva, then the person who gives that second would be the committed relationship. So that is a matter of what we call usage. You know, it means how it's used or applied. It's not technically against the rules, but it's how it makes sense and is applied by a certain group of Vaishnavas at a certain particular time. But we see is how the Niskan it's used, and that would be how it was considered and understood by the Acharyas. That's why sometimes when someone gets that first initiation, the Gaudiya Mat, if you say, you know, why you initiated there, the Gaudiya Mat will say you're not. Because technically in their mind, they're not initiated. But according to the previous Acharyas, you are. But because that's their usage, so therefore that's how they apply it. Yes? Okay. So end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari, Hari Hari.